This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hey, don't take them hits, that's all, fellas. Don't take them hits, that's all. Because we got to address something. Now, you made us walk down the line on this thing. Now, we have got to address something here. And listen, I heard you all loud and clear talking about one of the Thanksgiving things. And I heard Lopez, and I'm telling you, because I want Tyler and Clint to jump in on this. And I looked at the text line a little bit, too, in this thing. I think you guys may have jumped yourself into a two America situation that actually might be a three America situation when we ride you into this, Lopez. When you just talked about the redrafting of Thanksgiving foods and you said you think green bean casserole would not make the cut. Listen, I hear you. Trust me, I hear you. But I think that is a space of you thinking in your own mind. I don't think that there are a lot of people who would agree with you and say, cut green bean casserole off. Like, I wonder if Tyler and Clint.
It's top three for me.
See, I just told you. It is a cultural thing.
No kidding. Oh, God.
I ain't even messing with you.
Oh, he's not. And I'm telling you, rock and roll up and down this text line. And I'm betting you, people probably thinking, no, you crazy. We ain't cut no green bean casserole off. That's one of the top ones.
It's freaking mushroom soup. It's a can of mushroom soup and canned green beans or fresh green beans. It's like if Thanksgiving was an expansion holiday, like we just started from scratch. You're telling me that green bean casserole wouldn't even be an undrafted free agent?
No. I'm telling you. To us, yes. But I'm telling you, there's another group that is another more of group than us that are speaking like Tyler.
Tyler Milner just texted me and said, "What's up, cracker?"
Hey, you might have a chance with Clint, but I still think Clint's going to have green bean casserole there.
Not yet. Nah,
there you go.
Green bean casserole in the Milner household.
Not all green bean casseroles are the same now.
They don't got to be the same to all be cuttable. That's what I'm saying. There's different levels of cuttable is what we're talking about.
Like right now, this is easy for many of us. If I hit you with a one gotta go, mashed potatoes, rolls, or green bean casserole, I think it's easy. I'm banging out green bean casserole.
You're darn right.
But without question.
See your rolls.
Tyler, I think if we sent that to many people on the text line, that green bean casserole is staying.
They're already defending it. 713 hopped up. Green bean casserole is one of the best.
Hey, I'll be the obvious one here. I'm assuming that we're talking about white folks liking green bean casserole.
Absolutely. Yes. You know the hell this is. Right.
Yeah, I never thought about it, but yeah, I mean, it's a popular dish, but I could care less. I'm not a fan. You can cut it right now.
Exactly. Very good. Excellent.
There you go.
Have a good show, fellas.
All right. As I said, Clint, you kind of that unicorn a little bit, baby.
I don't get an opinion, huh?
You kind of that unicorn. Sometimes you slide in. I'm telling you, when I heard them say, all three of them agreed, I thought, we got Figgy, Reggie, and Lopez out here saying, nah, man,
they're
green
bean pissing off white America.
Out. I said, hold on now. What did he say on
that's
Chappelle?
What the whites used to do.
Wait just a damn minute, Tyrone. I thought Tyler was going to fly in there with his cape and say, to hell it is.
I do love green bean casserole.
I know you do. I'm telling you, I'm just going to say that there is a part, like our boss, PH, green bean casserole. I'll bet on it. I will bet on it that PH has some green bean casserole on the plate. I will bet it. Bet it. Our other boss.
If what you're if
Sarah
what you
Fraser,
if what
day.
You're insinuating is true, I would bet both of the tables that Parker Hillis eats off of, his and his in-laws, got green bean casserole all
yes,
over.
Yes, yes, yes. Like I am scared, but hell, because we're gonna have a lot of tough conversations, and it starts with this one apparently today. That's what today's show is gonna be about: tough conversations. Because we're going to get to one about D'Amico Ryans here coming up in just a second. But, Tyler, I dare to do this. Because you said, what did you say? Not all green bean casseroles are made the same. Like, what's a real good one?
The ones I eat. Like, I just had a mess of green bean casserole at my mother-in-law's this past weekend. I had probably three or four helpings. But I'm not going to eat three or four helpings of my aunt's green bean casserole later on this week.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
I know it. I know it. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a tradition. It's a tradition for, as you would say, a group of people in this country.
Well, I have other news to report to you. You were completely wrong. Old boss man said, nope, out on the green bean casserole.
Listen, Parker, I don't know why you got a lot of kick it. Parker, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. Mark, I don't believe you.
He seems really pretty serious. He looked at me dead in my face and shook his head.
You're an honest person, and I know Parker wanted to. I know Parker has been holding it in not to come at Tyler about what happened with his Auburn Tigers and your Texas Longhorns. But I'm sorry. I see the Boston. Damn, the Boston got on the screen. Here's PH. I'm sorry. I can't believe you don't have that. There won't be green bean casserole at the establishment that you're going to for Thanksgiving, and it ain't gonna be on your plate.
No, there'll definitely be green bean casserole at the establishment. But it's not going on my plate. Give me the mashed potatoes, give me the mac and cheese, give me the stuffing, give me just about anything else. I am not touching the green bean casserole. It is, look, the gots to go that you threw out there, 100%. That one can go, and I don't have to think twice about it.
I will steal a line from Clint Sterner. I'd have lost a lot of money on that one.
I would have lost a house note, too. I would have. I'm not going to lie. Because here's the deal. Like,
in my mind, I see Parker say, ooh, give me some extra onion strings, baby.
Onion strings.
Well, don't get me started on onion strings.
He just grabs a handful of those when he walks in the door. Okay, pop that up. I'm thinking about it. Every Thanksgiving that I've attended over the years has had green bean casserole.
And I'm 0-for-40.
I don't think the Capatillos had green bean casserole. I think that was the only one. I think you're right. But I don't dislike green bean casserole. I just don't have room on my plate for it, right? Like, there's only room on my plate. I got to leave something out on Thanksgiving. That is getting left out 10 out of 10 times.
Yep. For Eric right here on YouTube and Twitch, mashed potatoes out. Jeffrey Driscoll, on YouTube and Twitch. Mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, and dressing. Horacio Perez likes to still call me rerun. You can kiss my black ass all up and down Houston. So, not rerun, although I just rewatched that show the other night. But, all right, it is a day of tough questions, tough conversations. And I want to have a tough one here. And Clint, you know, as we do this thing every day, we kind of throw in our thoughts and ideas, and we are clearly on the same wavelength on one thing that has to be a tough conversation that I don't think a lot of people are comfortable in Houston having, but I think it is one that needs to be had. Last night, D'Amico was on the coach's show, and Clint, this is a complete change, of course, on how he normally handles things. He talked about specifically, you know, the 24-hour rule. His entire time here, man, just flush it. Win or lose, flush it. You know, let it go. He had a different feel when he spoke to the guys on the coach's show last night.
Oh, this is extremely tough, and I'm not letting this one go. This will be a week long one that I make sure we all remember. And so, man, we gotta change. We gotta play better. Right. So this one is gonna sit with me all week until we get the opportunity to go out and compete again versus the Jaguars. So I want this to sit. I want this to sting all week for our guys, and I want everybody to feel. I know that's how I'm gonna be feeling all week until we are able to go and change it.
Yeah.
All right, he's still in there thinking about it. This is a change of how he normally does things and how he approaches the team. And Clint, I, as I said, I feel like we were on the same wavelength. Boy, you were talking a lot yesterday about some of the issues with this team. And many people have been talking about some of the issues with this team. And I would just say this, Clint. Generally, a lot of those issues you were talking about, which I'm sure you're about to share, you generally don't match that with, boy, that's a team that's well coached. You generally don't look at that and say, that squad there, that squad, they have, as you would say, the advantage with the polos on the sideline. And I think it's an uncomfortable conversation, but there is one there. Have we, and you can answer this, those of you on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 at Football Superfans. Have we jumped the gun on how good of a coach D'Amico Ryans is? Have we kind of moved a little quick on that with the success of last year?
Well, can I answer the first part of that question for the audio that you played right there, Ron?
You can do whatever you want to do.
That would have been phenomenal week 7 when you messed the bet against the Green Bay Packers and won the turnover battle by 3 and still didn't win a football game.
It's just a little late.
Here's the deal though, Tyler. Here's why it's not just about timing. It is. That's one of the layers, but the other layer is it took losing a football game, doing the same crap that you've been doing all year long, but the fact that it was Tennessee and it was a 3-win football team or a 2-win football team, whatever the hell they were, now it's going to stick with you.
Ooh.
Right? That to me, what that screen, I immediately, when I heard that, and Tyler, I'll be honest with y'all, I did not hear that until right before we came on the air and Tyler played it for me. Right? The part of that pisses me off is, when it happens against a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, that's one of the better football teams in football, it's, oh, we'll sweep it under the rug and we'll just move on. But when it happens to a team that's bottom of the barrel in your division,
things are fixable.
Now,
but you got no business having this happen to you.
Now it stings, Ron. The same crap that forced you to lose to the Tennessee Titans, now it stings and now it's going to stick with you and now you want the guys to remember it.
They're all right? Fixable.
I think it speaks volumes to the
it was happening in wins too, Clint.
But Ron, this is yes, these problems they have not gone away. But the thing is, like, this speaks volumes for kind of the expectations, like the true expectations. When it happens against a team, you're supposed to be a Super Bowl caliber football team, one of the best teams in the AFC, a team that is hot and coming for everybody's throat. And when it happens against one of the teams that's in the same class with you, it's no big deal. Let's just move on, as it's easy to just forget about it. But when it happens to a team that's supposed to be below you, now you want it to sting. I personally look at it as like, now we know what your expectations are. Your expectations were never to be equal to or better than the Green Bay Packers. Your expectations for this team were never to be a top three AFC football team and contend for a Super Bowl, right? If they were, you'd be just as mad then after week seven, after you pissed away a game to the Green Bay Packers. You'd have been just pissed off then as you are right now, week 12, after losing to a lowly Tennessee Titan team, right? But because that was a better football team, it was, oh, it's a long season. Everything's fixable. Like, I'm ready for this organization to be at a spot and for everybody's mind to be at a championship level. Like, when you play down to teams' opponents, when you piss games away, and when you got a chance to beat teams that are legit contenders for Super Bowls, that should hurt more than you pissing a game away week 12 against the Tennessee Titans. But because it's the Titans, because it's embarrassing,
oh no!
Because everybody on God's green earth knows that you shouldn't have done it, now we want this thing to sting all of a sudden when you're 12 weeks into it. That to me, it's a bad bar to set. It's a bad state. That didn't sit well with me.
That's
exactly what I wanted to hear after the Green Bay loss. It's exactly what I wanted to hear when you didn't play well in games. The Jets lost, right? That was a two-win football team. The Lions lost after you messed down your leg and lost that football game right there, right? Those are the things. So everybody out there, again, that always wants to talk about, hey, Clint, what do you want him to say? That is exactly what I wanted him to say the entire season when you didn't play up to snuff.
But with that now, that leads to the question and conversation. Did we jump the gun? Did we jump the gun on kind of where we rated him as coach? I mean, there are things like he's a top 10 coach already. That was kind of the sentiment coming into this season. And just kind of what we're seeing, a team that is undisciplined, a team that makes similar mistakes 12 weeks into the season, a team that hurts itself, a team that loses games when other teams are working with you, as you just talked about. Hey, we won the turnover battle by three and lost. We had a pick six and eight sacks and lost, right? You know, and two turnovers. I think it is a serious conversation and a real thing to kind of face with, whoa, maybe we need to kind of slow our thoughts down on what he is as a coach.
I think it's fair. I think it's very fair. I can only speak for myself. I think I jumped the gun a little bit on D'Amico Ryans. I never thought that I'd be sitting here year two of D'Amico Ryans' tenure and we'd be talking about a team that is as undisciplined as there is in the NFL.
I love D'Amico.
We're talking about a team that loses to a two-win team because you have nine penalties for 83 yards in the second half. You've got an offense that has several issues going on, but lacks physicality up front. Gets pushed around. I watched the tape drop Tuesday. I watched half the tape. I watched half the game. You're just getting pushed around up front. They did a better job. Just get pushed around. You're okay with just getting punked over and over and over again, whether the guy makes a play or not. He's going to make you feel him, and you're just going to eat it. And that is a D'Amico Ryans football team.
God. 2 years running.
I can't believe that we're sitting here with it and talking about this football team not being able to go on two with a snap count in their own building. I can't believe that we're still talking about, a D'Amico Ryans team of guys that just, you know, the same thing that I highlighted with the Cowboys where you could, hey, you know, watch their $136 million corner Diggs, watch him quit on this play, watch him just have no physicality, watch him just eat this block, but yet he's where he's supposed to be. Watch how lazy he is chasing. Watch this guy, he's just lazy as hell chasing. He's quitting on plays, right? I watched the defense do that this week on multiple explosives. I ain't talking about the big passes over the top. I'm talking about the run that's bottled up on the goal line coming out and ends up going for 20, 25 yards. I'm talking about the tight end catching the ball on the shallow over route and going 70-some-odd yards for a touchdown. Guys just quitting, right? Those are the things. Forget about the win-loss record, right? Forget about the play calling inside and out, offense and defense. Forget about that. Forget about turnover. Forget about C.J. Stroud's play appearing to be regressing. Forget all that. What I'm watching is an undisciplined football that lacks physicality and is real quick to quit.
Week after week.
I never thought that would be what I watched out of a D'Amico Ryans defense. I mean, a football team.
And they made the decision to re-sign and bring many of those guys in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, but Rod, to me, again, you know, those are all, yes, there's a personnel issue here. I think when you pay guys that don't have the same get after it physicality, want to work ethic that you trying to instill in your team, I think you ask for problems, right? You put yourself in a bad spot, man. I'm not even talking about the decisions that they're making. I'm just talking about this team, and it is led day in, day out by D'Amico Ryans, one of the hardest nosed, most physical dudes, most accountable dudes. And you look around, and the team doesn't resemble that after 12 weeks of football.
Yeah, it has been a surprise in many kind of scenarios, and that one is absolutely one of them. All right, let's talk a little bit about the big injury that occurred yesterday. And real quick, I'd apologize to Kadar Holman. You tore your ACL the same day that Jalen Petrie went down, and that just kind of got lost in it. But the Jalen Petrie injury, and what this will mean and how eyes will be opened here by many Texans fans. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, Jalen has a shoulder injury. He'll be out for some time.
What did he bring to this defense this year that you'll miss for however long he's out?
Well, Jalen has brought this. He's been a true impact player for us. Just being around the ball, just Eric causing interceptions, forcing fumbles. He's just been really active, very instinctive player for us. He's been all over the field, and he's made a lot of plays for us, and just miss his instincts, miss his playmaking ability. Man, we're going to miss that. All right, so we got to pick it up, and we got to go. We got to move forward. We got to press forward. Whoever else steps in, we got to hit the ground running.
All right, that's head coach D'Amico Ryans talking about the loss of his young safety, Jalen Petrie, who, as I said before, D'Amico and company, Matt Burke as well, following that Jets game where he was in some less than ideal situations, it seems like they had really, and Jalen also picked up his play, really improved where he was going to be, where he was lining up, and getting the most impact out of him. And he's been really, really good. I'd say the last, you know, two or three games, specifically since that Jets game. But I look at this, Clint, this Jalen Petrie injury, and it feels like to me that he's about to open up some eyes. I think there are a lot of people who like Jalen Petrie, but it's been kind of up and down at times with him, especially from the fan base. And Clint, he seems to be, you know, there are players like this with certain skill sets. He seems to be a player, and I know I'm guilty of it, and we're probably guilty of it, that it's really easy to fall into really focusing on the things that he's not good at. Like, he is somebody that you see, like, a lot of, well, man, he can't cover, or, you know, the things that he struggles sometimes with tackling, or, you know, in space, because that's what we talked about a lot. But I think, with him being out, we are now, because he's played virtually every game. He's missed two in his career, but he's played all 17 first year, 15 last year, and all 12 up to this point. But I think it's really going to jump out big time on what it is that he does well and what he brings, because I just don't think they have anybody on the roster that plays and does some of the things that he does. So for the first time, we always think about coverage and all the things that he can't do. I think it's going to really potentially stand out, the things that he brings to the table that you don't notice until he's not there.
No, I think that's 100% spot on. We've talked about it. I don't know how you feel or Tyler feels, but when we've talked about this, I mean, there was, for me personally, there was never a doubt on Jalen Petrie in terms of playing zone coverages, on playing the run, all the different pressures that D'Amico was going to use him with, which he has. I thought he was going to be tremendous in those situations. The only question was, is when a team lines up that has a good play caller and a good quarterback that can zero in on mismatches and can get him in the open field in man situations with top receivers in this league, you're going to have major problems. It's going to be unfair, right? And now we've seen that become an issue a time or two, and I think D'Amico Ryans has done his damnedest of late to keep it from happening again in critical situations. But yeah, I mean, look, there is the good far outweighs the bad with Jalen Petrie, and I mean, there's not a player that has the same caliber instincts that he has that you're going to put at that position. There's not a player that's a true nickel defender that you're going to put at that position, whether he is more of a coverage savvy defender or a linebacker type, gadget type, pressure, stopping the run type of instincts. You don't have either of those guys that's to replace Jalen Petrie right now. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, Ron. We're gonna feel this one, I think, in a big way.
Yeah, like I said, it's just easy to look at, dang, man, he can't cover. More times than less, you just look at it, and he'll get beat. And like I said, we're guilty of it. In that Jets game, he'll get beat by Garrett Wilson, and he'll get beat by Davante Adams. But, like, some of the – like, there is just – like, whoever they put in there, even Dez King didn't do it. The aggressive manner that he plays with that causes, like, he lights up. He comes, and when he arrives, he is coming physically and lights people up and causes turnovers. Like, the Barnett touchdown, like, that is a lot of Jalen Petrie. He always finds himself around the ball.
Yeah.
And strip it, and that led to a touchdown with just his physical play. And I don't think that Eric Murray brings that. I don't think that Jimmy Ward will consistently bring that the way he does and can kind of do the things he does. So, I hope they're able to survive as much as they can without him. But this is going to be a clear thing in which, like, it's going to be like, damn, okay.
Well, the
damn! I didn't really notice that he did those things, or he was how important he was with those things, until he's not here right now, and nobody's doing them.
Well, the unfortunate part of it is again, where it's going to hurt is where this team is a pressure defense, and a lot of times, Jalen Petrie is a big part. With the exception of 51 and 55, Jalen Petrie is the next best thing in terms of consistently creating pressure from the edge, from the outside in, making the quarterback and tackles and tight ends, account for number five out there, account for Jalen Petrie. Like this team's identity defensively, what they wholeheartedly believe in and how they've had success, he's been a critical part of that. And so not just is he a good player, one of the key cogs, he is an extremely important part of what gives this team the identity that it does have defensively.
You're right. If you could sum up, like, the player that represents what they want to do defensively, it's him and Will.
Absolutely, 100%.
It's those two, and you run the risk of losing that, and we'll see. Hopefully they can find guys to fill the void. We'll see about that. All right, Chris Long, speaking about what has become the number one topic surrounding the Houston Texans, speaking about the offensive coordinator, and he had some choice words to say what the Texans potentially should do. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we keep rolling through here on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday. Clint, Chris Long, Super Bowl champion, son of Howie Long, had a long career, won that championship with the Eagles, has his own podcast, I believe the Green Light Podcast, I believe that is what it's called, and this has been a conversation and a question, and like I said, we'll have tough conversations throughout the day, Clint, but a lot of people are now, as we're reaching week 12, you know, really honing in on what's going on with C.J. Stroud. It literally on ESPN, their page, the first thing you can see, the big story, it is C.J. Stroud, a photo of C.J. Stroud, and it says, what in the world happened to C.J. Stroud this season?
You know the answer to that.
And like, that has started to be a conversation piece. And one of the things that's been talked about around here, and many people have their thoughts on it, is, you know, should there be a change at play caller? Should the Texans look at changing the play caller, and will that help them? You know, hey, the Jets did it. When they moved from Nathaniel to Todd Downing, should the Texans do something like that? Here's Chris Long's take on the idea of changing play callers.
So they haven't played had their Jacksonville, bye. Then they have a bye.
And I know he's tight with the quarterback coach, right? I know there's other guys that are in the building and call plays. Like, did we look at that? It was Bill Lazor.
Yeah.
Is there. He's called some plays in the NFL before. But they have to have a conversation about the play calling, because the play calling is not good. And I've seen teams work around worse offensive lines. There are some decent players, guys who have played good ball in the past on this offensive line, but they're not playing together. And they're not, and they're doing unsound shit. Mm-hmm. They're pulling Shaq Mason to pick up an edge guy who's screaming off the edge. He's tiptoeing. He doesn't know what he's doing. You know, you've given up a sack to Devondre Sweat. The guy hadn't had a sack since Jesus was a baby. And you're giving up a sack to that guy. He's 380 pounds. How do you give up a sack to a 400-pound guy late in the down?
All right. As you heard there, Clint, as he's talked about some of the offensive line stuff, and I know that's been a conversation piece around here.
Slovic losing it?
Should they be maybe looking at making a change with Bobby Slovic? What were your thoughts surrounding some of the stuff Chris Long had to say?
Well, I think some of the points that Chris made are spot on. I think now if his overall point is to make, I didn't know his overall point was that they should make a change at the play call. I think that's silly. I think the thought of it is silly. I mean, if anybody out there can point to a mid-season play caller change for a team that's set for the playoffs that worked in a positive light, let me know. Positive manner, let me know. That to me, that overall is really, really silly. The thought now, Bobby has plenty of blame laid at his feet. No question about it.
Well, real quick, let's jump into that part of it. Why do you think it's really, really silly? Because I agree with you, but there are a lot of people. I'm going at it with somebody on the text line right now on why I was called Sherlock Holmes on here. Why to you is it really, really silly?
Well, one because everybody in that room that you would go to, whether it's Gerard Johnson or Bill Lazor, both of those guys are heavily involved in what the hell's going on already. Number one. Number two, the overall overarching undisciplined lack of physicality starts at the very top. And when the very top doesn't hold guys accountable to be that, the offensive coordinator or the O-line coach or the quarterback coach can't do it themselves. So that part of it's not going to change. And then if you look at what the issues are on this football team, you don't have to look any further than the last play, literally the last play of the game. They Chris Sims is going out there nationally talking about, oh, they need to do more man protection. Did you watch Juice Scruggs the last play of the game with Simmons on him? Have you watched Shaq Mason all year long get absolutely destroyed by middle of the road defensive tackles in what ends up being one-on-one man type protection?
What Chris Long just said with Sweat.
Yeah. Like what he is seeing is absolutely, the guys are seeing things. They're seeing the same things I'm seeing, but from a national perspective, you're watching a couple of things and then going, oh, this is what they got to do to fix it. And in reality, there is no quick fix with what's going on, and changing the play caller. It's just interesting to me. I mean, the guy that orchestrated the quarterback having the absolute best rookie season that most people have ever seen last year is the same guy that you're wanting to fire this year. Last year, things were going just fine in this same exact system, But this year, you got a tougher schedule. You got some better players. Dudes aren't playing worth the flip for whatever reason. Guys are undisciplined, and penalties continue to be an issue. And it's the play caller. I don't disagree that the play caller has plenty of blame in this situation, but the thought of jumping to fire somebody or remove them from play calling duties, in my opinion, is silly. I just, there's...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's not much good, if any, can come from that at this point in time.
People are texting in off of this, and I don't, we didn't know if we were going to head here, but people are texting in off of this. Look what happened to the Bills last year, Clint. And then what's happening with the Jets this year are two examples of it.
It's that simple.
What happened to the Jets this year?
I guess they beat the Texans after they
left. Yeah. Look, there are outliers, no question about it. But the Bills, what the Bills were doing was they were being too aggressive. They were taking too much risk and were not playing to their quarterback strengths. And what they did was they took out half the playbook and said, we're no longer going to be a vertical passing team, even though our quarterback has an extremely strong arm. We're now going to feature the running backs, the tight ends, and the quarterback in the run game and in the quick pass game. Now, that is an extremely drastic change that did work out for Buffalo. If you don't have that option here in Houston, it is going to be some iteration of what they're already doing. You're not gonna drastically change and all of a sudden not target Nico Collins and trade him next year. You know what I mean? That's a good find, and it did work for Buffalo, but that's not what you're going to do here. That's not your option here. You're going to do some iteration of what you already are doing. And if there's a guy in the room that could call plays and all of a sudden fix this offensive line and he hasn't done it yet, boy, he's a real POS.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It is, as you said, man, it is a tough one. I think if Tyler did a poll, especially for our listeners, if Tyler did a poll, I think fire, tell me if I'm off, Tyler, you'll follow this. I think if he did a poll, fire Bobby Slowick, I think would win at an 80%+ clip.
Oh, no question. No question.
And I mean a good amount of people. If Sports Radio 610 did that, it would win at about an 80%+ clip. And I don't know. The best that I've heard, Clint, is what I've seen under the text line. It's crazy to believe that the Texans need 5 new offensive linemen, but they do. Bobby is an issue to them. They're just not responding to him. Just my opinion. That's one where I don't necessarily know if Bobby's an idiot now all of a sudden based off of last year when he was a genius, but clearly, they're not responding to him or responding to the elementary things that's being asked to do. Because I do think some of it is just talent. Some of these guys just aren't equipped to do it anymore at this point. But then some of it is the mental stuff and just absolutely not knowing where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing. I can get with... maybe they've tuned out Bobby. That would be really, really quick. for them to tune out a guy that was just with them last year that helped them. Like, I mean, he helped Dalton Schultz get paid. He's helped a lot of these guys look better last year, and to think maybe they have tuned him out and they're not responding to him anymore. But if that's maybe the best thing I have heard in reference to why potentially a move to be made from Bobby.
Yeah, and I don't.
But I don't buy it.
I don't believe that either. I don't believe it either. I just don't. I mean, it's just to me that's not. I mean, you're talking about an offensive coordinator, Ron, that has called plays in the first half and scored 50 plus points in the last three games. You're talking about a guy that did dial up. I know people don't like it, but he did dial up enough throwing the oceans to beat the damn Detroit Lions, and it didn't get it done. You know, this dude's a good play caller. I mean, he's a good play caller. The fact of the matter is right now they've got a lot working against him. And don't get me wrong. Again, he deserves some blame. He's had a rough go at it. He hasn't been great this year. But the issues that are keeping this football team from winning ball games and being productive in the second half, I don't believe is the offensive coordinator, or if it is, a fireable offense.
Yeah, like I guess the best way I could put it is, Clint, is I don't think that Bobby Slowick or Matt Burke or anybody should be coming and thinking about taking over for D'Amico Ryans.
Oh no,
and D'Amico Ryans, you know what I mean? And D'Amico Ryans, if you want to say stuff that Bobby has done, D'Amico Ryans as the head coach, who's over all of this, looks different than it did last year, and I think it would be crazy talk to say, hey, man, maybe somebody needs to replace him after what he did last year and into this year with different things happening across his offense. Like, there are flat times where, as Clint just said in the first segment, looks like they got players that quit at times. It looks like they have players that are completely undisciplined. His defense just in the wrong spots, giving up big plays. I think it's asinine to think to fire him. Just like I think it would be insane right now to fire Bobby Slowick.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
nobody wants to go to that route.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, I don't. There's if we're going to be completely like I'm just being straight up. Like
they've been about
like
the same.
I think the most difficult thing about this football team offensively to wrap my head around is the lack of physicality and the willingness to quit, right? And I would put two guys, if not three, ahead of Bobby Slowick in terms of being responsible for that, and that's D'Amico Ryans and Laremy Tunsil. Like the way D'Amico has allowed Laremy Tunsil to just practice when he wants to practice, jump off sides, and we protect him. We don't talk about it. It's A-OK. We'll get better. We'll move on from it. Like, Bobby can't say nothing to Laremy Tunsil. Like, clearly, like, the ability to put your foot down on NFL players and make them be physical on the offensive side of the football, if the head coach doesn't acknowledge it, if the head coach doesn't require it, the hell is Bobby Slowick going to do? If the $20+ million a year lineman practices when he wants to and he gets away with it and he doesn't have to practice and he doesn't have to be accountable and he's not held accountable when he does, what the hell is Bobby Slowick supposed to do? Yeah. Like, you want to talk about problems with this football team, right? I mean, there's just, I mean, you got Laremy Tunsil and Joe Mixon involved in two of the biggest penalties that erased big plays last week or killed drives last week. What's Bobby supposed to do with Joe Mixon and Laremy Tunsil having penalties? You know what I mean? Like, what is that? It's just Bobby dials up a touchdown that wins the game against the Tennessee Titans when your defense is giving up explosive after explosive after explosive. What happened? We're not talking about it, right? Why? Because Laremy Tunsil, right? Oh, I'm sorry, that was Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon and Tank Dell.
Yeah. Right? I mean, so like you just, like, what the hell is Bobby supposed to do with that?
Yeah. All right, coming up, let's. I know this is going to sound like a simple answer to this question, but I think it's deeper than that. Has this team, they're 7-5 right now in first place, has this team taking a step back from 2023, or is it things that we talked about in the offseason? Tougher schedule, year two of people being able to know who you are. Now you're not sneaking up on people. Or do you think they have actually gotten worse? We'll discuss that coming up next.